Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're in 1 Kings, speaking about some of the events surrounding Elijah the prophet. When Ahab was king in Israel, the northern tribes, and he married that wicked daughter, high priestess of Baal, Jezebel. And now he escapes. He flees for his life because the government is after him, basically. And they're going to kill him for his crimes against the government. That's right. Against their state religion of licentiousness. And he went into the wilderness. And he's feeling very down. A quick wave of depression comes over him. And just that's part of the condition of mankind. We have our high, very high highs, and all of a sudden, when we come down from that, it seems like we crash down to below the ground. So a sudden wave of depression comes upon him, and he sees himself. He says, "Take away my life, for I want it to be over with. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." You know, how does it get better than it? Take me now. And we see the imprint of, yes, our evil fathers, the imprint of the evil of our fathers upon us. And we choose to go on and serve the Almighty. And so we feel this deep depression that comes on very quickly. And what happens? So he lays down and he sleeps. And I'll tell you, sometimes I feel these lows, and I don't do drugs. I don't look for some way to escape it. But sleeping is a legal way to escape it. And sometimes when I'm feeling depressed, I sleep a lot more. Because there are times when it's heavy. And it's just like this on, you know, we read this like it's all happening in a minute, but this is going on for days. So he falls asleep, and this is his mindset. And he slept under the juniper tree. Then behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." You know, and even at the lowest times when we're feeling these things, and we don't turn to the wickedness, and we don't try to relieve the pain through drink or the things that the world has to offer, drugs, you know, drugs for depression, whatever way it is that people try to relieve their anxiety, smoking cigarettes to bring about that euphoria from their own, what is the drug your body releases? Yeah. Through dissipation, whatever form it comes, to make yourself feel better. You just lay down and sleep. You don't turn back to sin. You don't turn back to the things of the world when you're depressed. You wait. And if all you can do is sleep, you wait and you sleep. And when he wakes, an angel comes to him. And you know what? You know what the Almighty is saying to Elijah? "I accept you. You are accepted. It doesn't matter what your fathers did. It doesn't even matter what imprint they had on your mind that you're fighting against. I accept you. And I will raise you up at the last day." But Job, as terrible as it was for Job, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I will be raised up at the last day." He never forgot that, never let go of it. So we have an angel here comes. He says, "You're accepted. Here, get up and eat." The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." So he eats and drinks, and he lays down and gets some more rest. The angel of the Lord comes again. And the angel is the messenger of Yahuwah, comes again, says, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." So he rose, he ate, and he drank, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yahuwah came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for Yahuwah, God of hosts, For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Yes. You know, something else you know about the man of God here, the prophet of God, the man who's chosen to speak his word. It's a lonely life. It's a life apart. Here, 40 days, the wilderness. He dwelt by a brook by himself. A raven fed him. Then he dwelt in the house of the widow and her son. 3 years passed. Then this great high upon, you know, this great mountain in his life comes where he's on top of it, Mount Carmel. And the Almighty works through him mightily. Now it's 40 days in the wilderness. And he says, go forth, stand upon the mount before Yahuwah, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountain and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Now there's Elijah and there's Elisha. The difference in the spelling being the J and the S there in the authorized King James Version. A lot of people get them mixed up. So Elisha, and they that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. So we're talking about Israel here. And Elijah saying, I'm the only one left. And now he's answering and says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. Now, I don't know what the population of Israel, so I don't know, you know, what that would be percentage-wise. But I know that I'm not the only one. Sometimes it seems like I am. And it seems like I get very lonely out here. At times, it seems that no one cares what I have to say, just going through the Bible day by day and, you know, and preaching the unpopular prophecy that nobody wants to hear. If I wrote a book, who would buy it? You know, it doesn't have any hybrid, you know, pornographic Nephilim in it. It doesn't have any, you're going to escape every bad thing that's going to happen. I haven't crammed everything into a 7-year period, which you're going to be raptured away from. Now, nothing popular about that. Just like the Messiah, you know, who said not one stone of the temple is going to be left upon another. They're going to kill you with the sword and carry you away captive. Nobody wanted to hear that. Nope. They want to hear, you're all right, just accept the mark of the beast. You don't have to give up any of your financial benefits, because guess what? Before that time comes, Jesus is going to return and you're all going to be caught away in a secret rapture and you're going to escape everything bad happens. Then later is going to be the resurrection of the dead, whatever. It's all a fantasy. I can't find it in the scripture. So I preach the truth and nobody wants to hear it. But I'm in good company. But I know there are 7,000 per capita, probably the same. I hope. Maybe there's less. Maybe there's more per capita, because I know there's 305 million here, or whatever, 320 million, who knows what the number is today, in the province of the Roman Empire, where I live today. And perhaps per capita there's the same amount as there was in Elijah's time, of those that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I don't know. They're few and far between. And so I kind of wonder, it may be a lot less. Get kind of lonely out here. And I got a rooster outside my window, if you can hear it. Okay, so he says there's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. That's in verse 18 of chapter 19. That's where we're at. 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse 18. But I did want to back up. Where did he hear the voice of the Lord? You know, people are always, I know there are people out there that are constantly looking for a sign. I guess they forgot what the Messiah said when he said, those that seek after a sign is a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Always want a healing, want a miracle. They want to feel the movement of the Spirit. And they, you know, so they go to these great crusades where some idiot waves his hand and everybody falls down, or they start wiggling and writhing and giggling on the floor. And all of this nonsense where demons reign and rule, and they say, didn't I? And they use the name of the Almighty, and they use the name of Jesus, and they use the Bible, and they quote scripture. But he's not there. He speaks to me in a still, small voice. And I'll tell you what that voice usually is. It's usually his word. Whatever I hear, whatever comes from him, if it doesn't line up with his word, I have to reject it. That's it. I'm going to put his word in here. I'm going to devour it so that I know it, so that I can't be deceived. You know, it's like the cliche about, you know, at the U.S. Treasury, you know, they train the agents there how to spot counterfeit money. But you know what they never show them? Counterfeit money. They make them study the real thing. And they know everything there is to know about real U.S. Treasury notes. Now, this is not a commentary on, you know, Federal Reserve notes or anything, but it's a commentary on how to spot a counterfeit. And that is, you come to know the true. You become intimate with the truth. And then that which is false pops up its head. It doesn't line up with that truth. So you recognize it immediately, because it's not in the book. That's why I know all these false prophets, and their whole wall of false prophecy is not true, because it doesn't line up with the book. So stop reading the books of the false prophets and all of their fiction. It just confuses you. Read the book. And then when you see their false prophecy, you go, that doesn't line. That's not in the book. It's not in his book. It's not in his word. That's how you know the truth from the false, is you become intimate with the truth. And when a spirit or when a thought comes into your mind, or you feel like it's the voice of the Almighty, does it line up with his word? If it does, go with it. Run with it. Because you can't go wrong if it's with his word. But if it goes against his word, then you have to reject it. Then you repent. You reject it. You take every thought captive and you bring it to the obedience of the truth of his word. That's how you renew your mind, by the washing of the water of your word. Get rid of all that junk. Use his word to wash your mind of all that false prophecy and all of the words of the false prophets. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Are you one of those? Are you one of that remnant today that hasn't bowed the knee to the government of religion, or to the religion of government? Same thing. Say it both ways. The religion of the government placing the law of man above the law of God, taking license thereby to kill your children in the womb, to commit adultery, sodomy, and every other abomination. You're guilty of the blood of the innocent. Even if you've never done it, if you support it, if you stand with them and chant with them, if you cheer every time the rights to murder are upheld, the rights of sodomites to continue in their sodomy, and adulterers to continue in their adulteries, you worship an image, the image of the state, idolatry, because you place the laws of man above the law of the Almighty. You worship the image. You are an idolater, unless you're one of the few that places the law of the Almighty above the laws of men. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and I will follow thee." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him, and took the yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he arose, and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. Chapter 20 of 1 Kings. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria, and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and he said to him, "Thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even thy goodliest are mine." And the king of Israel answered and said, "My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have." And the messengers came again and said, "Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away." Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, "Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief, for he said unto me, for my wives and for my children, my silver and my gold, and I denied him not." And all the elders of the children and all the people said unto him, "Hearken not unto him, nor consent." Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, "Tell my lord the king all that thou didst set for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do." And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, "The gods do so unto me and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me." And the king of Israel answered and said, "Tell me, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off." And it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings of in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus saith the Lord. And he uses a name there, Yahuwah, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, who shall order the battle? And he answered, thou, you will. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all of the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 30 and 2 kings that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first. And Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, there are men come out of Samaria. And he said, whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city, and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and the chariots, and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel, and said to him, go, strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. And we don't have time to finish that today. You've been listening to Cross the Border. Be sure to return again next time, where we'll pick up in 1 Kings.